Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, Pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, Text 29. Shri Shuka Vacha Swana Vibhishana Chakra Kaushalendra Numoditaha Pitrimera Vidanena Yaduktam Samparayikam. Shri Shukavacha. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Swanam, of his own family members, Vibhishana, the brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, Chakre executed. Kaushala Indra Anumodita. Approved by the king of Kaushala, Lord Ramachandra. Pitri Meda Vidanena. By the funeral ceremony performed by the son after the death of his father or some family member. Yat uktam, which have been prescribed. Samparayikam. Duties performed after a person's death or to save him from the path to hell. Translation of Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana and devotee of Lord Ramachandra, received approval from Lord Ramachandra, the king of Kaushala. Then he performed his prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Purport. After giving up the body, one is transferred to another body. But sometimes, if one is too sinful, he is checked from transmigrating to another body, and thus he becomes a ghost. To save a deceased person from ghostly life, the funeral ceremony or shraddha ceremony, as prescribed in authorized shastra, must be performed. Ravana was killed by Lord Ramachandra and was destined for hellish life. But by Lord Ramachandra's advice, Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, performed all the duties prescribed in relation to the dead. Thus, Lord Ramachandra was kind to Ravana even after Ravana's death. I'm going to read the next verses, and there's a lot of them, without purports. Thereafter, Lord Ramachandra found Sita sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree named Shimshapa, in a forest of Ashoka trees. She was lean and thin, being aggrieved because of separation from him. So how are we supposed to read this? How are we supposed to listen to this? Well, we should know how we're supposed to listen to it. Any idea? How are you listening to it? Deva, when you hear these stories, how do you listen to them? Any story about Krishna, how do you listen to it? Do we sit there like, I challenge my ears to try to hear something? Is there any technique? Is there any method of hearing which is better than some other? What's that? Yes, that's a good idea. Otherwise, we, at least theoretically, we should have some faith that these words are not different from what's being described. How many devotees have that faith that these words are not different from what's being described? How many devotees don't have any faith? How many are too lazy to raise their hands? We should, just like theoretically we have faith that Krishna is God, otherwise why are we here? And theoretically we have faith that Prabhupada is non-different from Krishna, simultaneously one and different from Krishna, that he's a perfect devotee. Wherever he goes, Krishna goes. So similarly, we have to have faith that the deity is non-different from Krishna. How many have faith that the deity is non-different from Krishna, at least? Is that one thumb up? Is that right, Andrea? You have one thumb. That's better than nothing. So theoretically, even if we have no faith, at least theoretically, otherwise what are we doing here? Just like we have this plant, Tulsi, we go around it. Now people coming from the outside, they already think we're crazy. But this is just confirmation. These people are walking, singing around the plant. But for us, we're not thinking it's just an ordinary plant. We understand that this is Vrinda Devi, the one who, this is her incarnation, the one who arranges the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan along with Purnamasi and other great devotees every day. That this is her personal representation. This is a personal expansion of Vrinda Devi. Similarly, Murti Prabhupada, theoretically we should accept at least that this is, Prabhupada is present here in his Murti. And that these pictures, Krishna is actually present in his pictures. He's full incarnation in his pictures here. And similarly, if we develop that faith, then we might become purified by acting properly. The faith is not just for faith. Oh, I believe. No. It's so we can act appropriately so that Krishna can reveal himself to us. Now, if we have no faith that these are just ordinary pictures, we won't even pay any attention to them. Or if the deities are just ordinary, when we have to do worship to them, or sing to them, or do something to them, or dance for them, we'll think, well, these are just statues. What is the difference how I do it? But if we think, here, Krishna is personally present, I must do it very nicely, then Krishna will reveal himself if we do it very nicely. Then we'll develop faith, more faith, that Krishna actually is personally present. Just like if we look at the pictures with some devotion, theoretically accepting that this is Krishna, and how beautiful how nicely the painter has made Krishna, and how devotional the painting is, and how Krishna looks, then Krishna can reveal himself to us. So similarly, when we hear these words, we should try to appreciate them. When it says Lord Ramachandra, that the best we can think of Lord Ramachandra, what he looks like, then it becomes meaningful, the story. Even if we were telling a story, I don't know what kind of, when you were little, what fairy tales did you hear? Anyone hear fairy tales when they were little? All the ladies were deprived. Andrea, what fairy tale can you remember? What's that? Well, you can say it in whatever language you can. What's that? What's that? Red Riding Hood. Krasny. Krasny is red here? Krishna. What's red here? What's that? Kardecha. Krasny in Russian. Little Malinki? Malinkia? Little? What's the word for the, what? Mala. Mala, yes, little. Riding Hood, I guess Riding Hood is. So I don't know, Little Red Riding Hood. She was riding somewhere. Some fox came and told her something, is that right? Is there some wolf or fox in the story? A wolf. she got eaten up by the wolf at the end? Yes. Okay. Yeah. So he ate the grandmother.
Yeah, grandmother and disguised as the grandmother, and then she came and she also hurt, and then the hunter came and liberated.
He cut open the fox or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were both inside. Such a nice story for children. This is what they tell children to make them feel good. Imagine. So when they grow up, when they hear these more horrible things, they think, oh, that's nothing compared to Little Red Riding Hood. Anyhow, just see how easily it is to visualize Little Red Riding Hood, much to our detriment. I mean, you could see that little girl walking the forest, and the fox coming. So easy it is, right? Because we have so much faith in these fairy tales. When we hear Lord Ramachandra found Sita sitting in a small cottage beneath a tree called Simshapa in the forest of Ashoka trees, how difficult it is for us to accept it. But if we try to see Lord Ramachandra and see a cottage, it's not so difficult. If you can imagine a cottage where Little Red Riding Hood, his grandmother is, and the fox going in there welcome and saying, hi, Grandma. It's time for lunch, and you're on the menu. So a cottage, and Sita Devi sitting there beneath a tree named, what was the name of the tree? Simshapa. In a forest of what kind of trees? What does Ashoka mean? What does Ashoka mean, Deva? It's Sanskrit. What does it mean? In Bengali, too, I'm sure it's the same thing. To lament. Shoka. Shoka means to lament. Dukkha is unhappiness. To lament. What's that? Lamentation. So beneath the lamenting trees, the place where you lament, Ashoka. Because Sita, she was feeling separation, lamenting so it was appropriate she was beneath these Ashoka trees. And so we can see, if we see that, then then reading these stories becomes spiritual. And if we just read them just like there's some ordinary sound vibration, then we forget it. But if even the karmis, they know that if you want to remember something, you have to visualize it. You have to experience it. Of course, they do it in all kinds of ridiculous ways, remembering ridiculous things, remember ridiculous other things. But if we just visualize Lord Ramachandra, he's going to this forest called Ashoka Trees, and in the forest of Ashoka Trees, there's one tree named Simsharpa. And beneath that tree, there's a cottage, and in the cottage, there's Sita Devi. As we go on, seeing his wife in that condition, Lord Ramachandra is very compassionate. When Ramachandra came before her, she was exceedingly happy to see her beloved, and her lotus-like mouth showed her joy. Of course, after giving Vibhushan the power to rule the Rakshasa population of Lanka for the duration of one kalpa, how long is a kalpa? Four yugas make one kalpa. Yeah. How many?
64 yugas
is one kalpa. No. How many years in Kali Yuga? And how many in Dwarpa Yuga? You double it. Simply have to double it. 864,000 years. And in Treta Yuga?
Double.
And in Satya Yuga?
Double.
Double, yes. And how does that add up to? 4,200,000 years. It's one kalpa. So how many would like to live for 4,200,000 years? Anyhow, don't raise your hands. Because it's not possible. It's age anyhow. But imagine living for 4 million, if you had a birthday party and they had to put the candles on. Of course, in those yugas, because there were people in records, in the Bible at least, of people living for 900 years, etc., etc. Billamangal lived for how long? Around 900 years. So, even if you had to live for 900 years, if you had a birthday and had to put the candles on the cake, it would take you a long time. It'd be a very expensive cake, too. You'd have to have a big cake to put all those candles on. And then imagine if you had to blow them out, wouldn't be very suji to blow them out anyhow. But in any case, Lord Rama, Vibhishan ruled for one kalpa, his Lanka. Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of God, had placed Sita Devi on an airplane decorated with flowers and got on the plane himself. The period of his living in the forest having ended, the Lord returned to Ayodhya, accompanied by Hanuman, Sugriva, and his brother Lakshmana. When Lord Ramachandra returned to his capital, Ayodhya, he was greeted on the road by the princely order, who showered his body with beautiful, fragrant flowers. So they're supposed to be fragrant. Kali Yuga, we do the best we can. While great personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods glorify the activities of the Lord in great jubilation. Upon reaching Ayodhya, Lord Ramachandra heard that in his absence his brother Bart was eating barley cooked in the urine of a cow, covered his body with the bark of trees, wearing matted locks of hair, lying on a mat of kusha. The most merciful Lord very much lamented this. When Lord Bharata understood that Lord Ramachandra was returning to the capital, Ayodhya, he immediately took upon his own head Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes and came out from his camp at Nandigram. Where is Nandigram? You never heard of Nandigram? I guess it's not Nandigram. If it was Nandigram, we'd know where it is. But anyhow, Nandigram. Lord Bharata was accompanied by ministers, priests, and other respectable citizens. By professional musicians, vibrating pleasing musical sounds, by learned Brahmins, loudly chanting Vedic hymns, following the procession with chariots drawn by beautiful horses and harnesses of golden rope. These chariots were decorated with flags with golden embroidery and by other flags of various sizes and patterns. There were soldiers bedecked with golden armor and servants bearing betel nut and many well-known beautiful prostitutes. Many servants followed on foot, bearing an umbrella with different grades of precious jewels and other paraphernalia befitting a royal reception. Coming in this way, Lord Bharat, his heart softened in ecstasy and his eyes full of tears, approached Lord Ramachandra and fell at his lotus feet with great ecstatic love. Sounds like a nice reception. So if you want to really greet someone, then try to see if you can arrange this. Except for the beautiful prostitutes. That you don't have to bring. And also, it'd probably be hard to find soldiers with golden armor. Yes? Betel nuts? You don't have to know. They're intoxicating nuts. You ever hear a pun? What's that? Pun. It's a mixture of betel nuts and cloves and some other things. Pun. Yeah, the pond leaf. And they put betel nuts in it. What pond is usually, they call pond, when they put in the betel nut, at leaf, they put the betel nut.
Yeah.
Supari, yeah. It's intoxicating. That's, you know, it makes you happy. They didn't follow the regular principles back then. No, it's for when you're in ecstasy, it doesn't really, they're not really affected by it. Krishna is not, in Krishna's Leela, he's always, that's one of the things, and even Chaitanya Leela, they sometimes hear pan. What's that? But in Krishna Leela, nothing there is actually materially intoxicating. Everything just increases their ecstasy and love, that's all. But here, of course, when if you offer Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, a betel nut, it's not going to, he doesn't become materially intoxicated by it. Oh, they distribute it to the devotees?
No. Sometimes I steal it.
Oh.
Pan leaves I eat sometimes.
That's why you're so happy all the time. The betel nuts are the intoxicating.
Yeah.
Yeah. You think you're in the spiritual world. After offering the wooden shoes before Lord Ramachandra, Lord Bharata stood up with folded hands, his eyes full of tears, and Lord Ramachandra bathed Bharata with tears while embracing him with both arms for a long time. Accompanied by Mother Sita and Lakshmana, Lord Ramachandra then offered his respectful obeisances unto the learned brahmanas and the elderly persons in the family, and all the citizens of Ayodhya offer their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. The citizens of Ayodhya, upon seeing their king return after a long absence, offered him flower garlands, waved their upper cloths, and danced in great jubilation. It's not like a little bit more enthusiastic than greeting modern politicians. O King, Lord Bharat carried Lord Ramachandra's wooden shoes. Sugriva and Vibhishana carried a whisk, an excellent fan. Hanuman carried a white umbrella. Shatrughna carried a bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot filled with water from holy places. Angada carried a sword. And Jambava, the king of the rikshas, carried a golden shield. O King Parikshit, as the Lord sat in his airplane of flowers, with women offering him prayers and reciters chanting about his characteristics, he appeared like the moon and with the stars and planets. Thereafter, having been welcomed by his brother Bharata, Lord Ramachandra entered the city of Ayodhya in the midst of a festival. When he entered the palace, he offered obeisances to all his mothers, including Kaikeyi and the other wives of Maharaj Dasarath, especially his own mother, Kaushalya. He also offered obeisances to the spiritual preceptors, such as Vashistha. Friends of his own age and younger friends worshipped him, and he returned their respectful obeisances, as did Lakshmana and Mother Sita. This way they all entered the palace. Who is Kaikeyi? What's that? What's significant about that he greeted Kaikeyi also? Yes. Lord Ramachandra is very forgiving. Of course, it was part of his pastimes. Upon seeing their sons, the mother of Rama, Lakshmana, Bharata, and Shatrughna, immediately arose, like unconscious bodies returning to consciousness. The mothers placed their sons on their laps and bathed them with tears, thus relieving themselves of the grief of long separation. The family priest or spiritual master Vasishtha had Lord Ramachandra cleanly shaved, freeing him from his matted locks of hair. Then, with the cooperation of the elderly members of the family, he performed the bathing ceremony, Abhisheka, for Lord Ramachandra with the water of four seas and with other substances, just as it was performed for King Indra. Lord Ramachandra fully bathed and his head clean shaved, dressed himself very nicely, and was decorated with a garland and ornaments. Thus he shone brightly, surrounded by his brothers and wife, who were similarly dressed and ornamented. So I'm going to stop there, because next one has a long purport, which we can read tomorrow. This is called culture. That, first of all, as we'll find out in the next verses, Lord Ramachandra was an ideal king, and he did not take the position of king in order to enjoy sense gratification, but he took it for the benefit of the citizens. And because he was a beloved leader, the citizens obeyed him strictly, and therefore they made progress in spiritual life. But when And Lord Ramachandra, as we find out, obeyed strictly even his father, what to speak of his spiritual master, but then there was respect for elderly, for seniors, for learned persons. There was a culture by which one could actually advance towards the goal of life. Nowadays, people are taught how to become disobedient, how to question everything. Had to question everyone and everything. Who do you think you are? So that kind of attitude, of course, makes it impossible to make any material advancement, what to speak of spiritual advancement. And therefore we have so much strife and war and pestilence and so many other things, only because there's no culture. Because people don't follow the Veda culture, they don't become materially purified, therefore they do things that upset the balance of nature, they don't worship the demigods or the Supreme Lord, and therefore the whole place is a mess. So therefore, we're trying to reinstate culture along with Krishna consciousness. Because without culture, it's very difficult to actually chant Hare Krishna offenselessly. Because we commit offenses due to lack of culture, lack of etiquette, lack of understanding things properly. Therefore, we commit offenses when we chant Hare Krishna. We don't realize two things. One is how fallen we actually are. And number two, we don't realize how dependent we are on Krishna and his representatives. But culture helps us understand our position, our real position, so that we can try to become dependent upon Krishna and his representatives, take shelter of them, and therefore get their mercy. But if we think we're very elevated, then we won't get any mercy. Because we're not interested in going any higher than our lowly position. And if we don't realize how dependent we are upon Krishna and his representatives, we won't know, even if we know we're fallen, we won't know who to take shelter of in order to become elevated. So both things have to be there.
That's culture.
So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes. Hare Krishna.
Sometimes I have problem to faith of Krishna. Sometimes have faith to Krishna is everything is is happening to Krishna, our life. But sometimes we forget about this.
Sometimes, that's good.
We'd forget.
You're quite advanced. So it is only sometimes.
Very distraught mind, suffering. So how will we maintain this?
Well, that's Krishna's mercy. That way we make much greater advancement. If we were in the heavenly planets and everything was going fine, you know, everything smelled great, everyone was perfectly a gentleman and lady, the food was fantastic, then we wouldn't take shelter, we wouldn't feel any reason to take shelter of Krishna. But when we're suffering, then automatically, if we are intelligent, then we know that the only solution is to take shelter of Krishna. That helps us develop the desire to obtain Krishna, which is the only by developing of our desire to obtain Krishna does Krishna reciprocate with that desire and reveal himself more to us. So distress is the greatest friend of the devotee because it inspires him to take more shelter of Krishna, and therefore Krishna reveals himself more, and therefore the devotee advances more. On the other hand, happiness is nice, but generally happiness doesn't create the intensity that distress does to take shelter of Krishna more. So there are tattenu kampam susamikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvag vipubhiri didanamaste divete tan bhukti sadai sadayabha. You know that verse? Praying for your mercy, tattenu kampam susamikshamano. So, tat te you, su samikshamano. Su means nicely, iksha means to see, mana revealed within the mind. So, when we see properly, then Krishna, then we can see properly within our mind what? Tat te nu kampam su samikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. If we're suffering, that's due to our past misdeeds. And Krishna is just giving us a little pinprick so we can take shelter of him more. Tate ridvagvapubhirvividanamaste. If one, in his heart, takes shelter of Krishna in spite of the difficulty, then jivetas mukti sadayabhak. Then one becomes eligible to go back to inherit the spiritual world. So, distress is very good if we causes us to take shelter of Krishna. Anything else? Voila. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam.